We'll just get going. Leona is not joining us. Imagine Leona not joining us. So it's just us. And we get to have this lovely conversation about clear method. So yous purr critters are some of and purr critters is slang in Derry for the purr people. The poor people that were subjected to a year's training with me over the last year and is now coming to the end, and they're all disheveled and exhausted after the year's training. So we're just here to have a lovely conversation about what has been the big learning, and if anybody's any questions, they're more than welcome to be asked. So I have kind of a structure. We follow the structure and then we take questions at the end. That'd be brilliant. Everybody happy enough for that? Cool. All right. So we'll start with, I'll introduce what I believe is the fundamental point of clear method, which is that it is primary pain. It is root cause focused, primary pain, hierarchy of pain focused. Now these guys will be rolling their eyes saying, if I hear that one more time, I'm going to go mad. I'm actually going to go mad. Teresa, don't you be laughing? But that's the principle of it. And everything that you learn in the clearer method is about not it's it's a, it's around that principle, but we talk about the vehicle to primary pain. So how do we get to primary pain? And a lot of what we set is the kind of preparation work. So we do a lot of relational stuff at the beginning, which is core conditions to achieve primary pain. But once we're past that, we're then in the body of what it is to be in primary pain. And so the question I have for you guys there is, what has, for those of you, because I know some of you have been diligently practicing and some of you are holding back until the end of the year because you've got your own full modality until you've got it all together. For some of you that have been practicing and been in practice with this, what has been the benefit of the root cause work, do you find? In comparison to your other modality.
Are we going in order or
No, you go as you want you.
Well, the benefit of being root cause focused is it saves a lot of unnecessary getting lost in content, dead ends, and things like that. You know, it makes it much more simple because you know where you're working from. So you're not, therapy can be kind of chasing around after this and that, after the meaning of mind, things like that. And if you work at root cause, it all loops back in.
I love that. I love that loops back in. All comes to a central place. Is that how did everybody else feel about that?
Yeah, I think it, that when you get to root cause, you're bringing the going back into the center of where it all is. And I think it really has become from working so much without this method and now having it, I can see the benefit of that, of finding that root cause. As I said, I find it's that grounding that brings that back into that grounding place. And then you have something then to work on, to go on from there and stay focused. It also brings a focus on to something rather than going down many different avenues.
Absolutely brilliant. The insights are slinging in as you talk, as you would expect. Thank you. Yeah, and Laddie, you're going to say something because I know you're going to go early too, aren't you?
I find like I'm weaving this into my private practice like every day. And the skill set that we've been learning really helps to zone in on what the client is bringing to the table. You see past their stories and you get underneath it. And you know, even when they start bringing like resistance or they start wanting to get sidetracked into story, it's helpful to just like focus in. You know, anytime clients keep bringing back the same issues and you go, oh, here we are again, right? And then it's like, okay, so what's the common denominator here? And then following that. So, you know, and when clients are in therapy, you know, with us, you've developed a relationship with them and they're willing to go there. And so when they finally reach those pain points, it's like, oh,
Yeah, because what we're fundamentally doing is that I always try and link it back to what it's like in medicine. So not mental health medicine, but medicine. If somebody comes into A&E or the emergency room with a broken right arm or a gashed right arm, we don't fix the left arm and send them out. We you know, from a medical point of view, we go to the source of the pain, we fix the pain, we help them with the pain, and then we help them rehabilitate their lives after that difficulty. But we fix the source of the pain. It never made sense to me what we were doing in therapy, which was we weren't even getting to the root cause of the pain. We weren't even plastering the left arm. We were plastering the big toe when the problem was in the right arm. And I know that's an awful analogy, but that's what it felt like. And so to hear you three say it in your own beautiful way, and then I come up with this medical analogy is funny. But that when you're talking like that, you're getting to those, whether you're talking, you're getting to these pain points. You're getting, and there is that, oh, we're there in that pain points. And the thing that has created it, and we talk a lot about primary pain and secondary pain. We talk a lot about hierarchy of pain within the model. But when you get to that, when you're not working in secondary pain, when you're working in root cause primary pain, I mean, it's like, I don't know how the rest of you feel about that. So what would you say?
I would say for me in my practice, it's how it just shifts and moves the dial for a lot of clients, because being root cause focused, primary pain focused, it's precision. It's a real point where you're in and around it. You're not in it, but you're staying very close to it. And to keep a client titrating in and out there and allowing them that space to explore with curiosity, but to develop and really learn what it is that's been the issue and the problem for them for so long. And for a lot of people that we work with, to carry this pain for years and years, and to get in and around that and be able to get some relief from that, let alone get into the healing of it, it's just, it's phenomenal. It's transformational for most people, and that's personally and professionally.
Yeah,
so that's where I would certainly go with it.
And I think that's the point, isn't it? Like I feel emotional about that. I'm a bit emotional today anyway about dollar things, but I feel emotional about that. Like we are serving at the highest level. You are in the depths of the pain that has been excruciating for years. And we not only get to see that, bear witness to that, help somebody understand that, but we're then moving beyond that, which we'll talk about in a while, the healer. And it's a very, very privileged position, isn't it?
Feel honoured that people trust you enough to be able to go there in the first instance, because this is stuff that they've held so tightly wound up in the body, let alone be able to go there and speak about it and feel safe enough to explore it.
Yes, and that's phenomenal for a cause, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Jameson, yes, go on ahead, Teresa.
I was just going to reference your analogy about the medical, you know, the person coming in with a broken arm and you're looking at the other arm or the toe. And that really struck me, because that's kind of how I would even describe it. That's the way I would have practiced. And I was only finishing college and kind of starting with clients. And I'm just sitting there and they're coming in with the left arm and I'm, what's the story with your leg? You know, how's that? You know, the sort of way.
I love that, Teresa. I love that. What's the story of your big toe?
yeah. Whereas now I'm bringing it in all the time, but I fully haven't fully, you know.
Yeah.
Really, you know, getting in there, and I'm dying to. But even the bits that I'm bringing in, I can, the whole relationship, the whole, and me, myself, how I come across, I kind of have that bit more that I feel that I can give clients. Like, you know, you're not just confidence. Coming to me for the fun. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Feel you trust the process. You trust what you're doing.
Yes.
Trust.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. James, it's not like you'd go last talking, but there you are.
Yeah.
He's normally first in the group. He's normally the first talking. So you're last today, James. You're out muscled today.
Yeah, I agree with everything that everyone was saying. I wanted to add, when you work in primary pain, there's a domino effect. Like you hit the thing at the core and it just spreads out. And it's like biggest bang for buck for your client. And then in terms of my own, my own emotional world as a therapist as well, major, major deal, because it's like knowing that what you offer, you've said already, I think, Shauna, but knowing what you offer is really valuable and a rare, like a really rare thing at the moment.
Yeah.
It kind of like is a major confidence boost for me as a therapist, just going into sessions day to day, but then running practice as well. I mean, I run a private practice. And so that confidence there definitely transmits through to, that practice doing really well compared to how it used to. So all of that stuff.
You think that because you're root cause focused, then that word of mouth ripple effect is happening, and then you're getting more actual client referrals from your work?
Definitely. And also because when I'm sitting in, like I had a consultation this morning, for example, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the guy, and because of this course, I'm like, oh, that's what that is. That's what that is. That's what that is. Yeah. Navigate around that. There's the primary, but he's not ready to go there yet, but noted. And I'm sitting there and I'm like confident, and if I contrast that with a year ago, well, I would be doing a lot of, going around the, like going around story and like not knowing quite where to go. And so I'm a lot more confident than I used to be, and they feel that. And because I'm more grounded in that, say, consultation, they're more likely to want to work with me, I'd say.
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely. And I think that is the ripple effect for us as therapists. We feel more confident. We feel that we're doing really deep work, all of that. And I think that's the benefit of being root cause focused for sure. There is a quote that I want to read to you, and I want to see if you see where it fits, right? You'll know it when I say it, because it's the second principle, the clear method. But it's a quote that I found in writing this book, and it's a Rumi quote. And when I read it, I have no idea what a Rumi, and I'm sure anybody that's a Rumi scholar will know exactly what Rumi meant, but I am taking Rumi's words to mean mine. So this is what Rumi said. Rumi said, the art of knowing is knowing what to ignore. The art of knowing is knowing what to ignore. And we spend quite literally about how many months, 3 months. These guys are all exhausted today and going, oh, hurry up and get there, will you? So at the beginning of the course, I say, we're root cause focused, we're root cause focused, we're root cause focused. And they're like, yay, show me the road to root cause. And I'm like, but let's understand functions of the mind and how the mind will take us down very many routes and what we have to ignore. And it must be about 2 months that it was. 2 months we worked on the functions of the mind. What was that like for you? And because that material is very, very unique to the clear method. It's not material that's available in any other. None of the material and clear methods available in any other modality, bar the conditions. But this functions of the mind. What was the experience of working with that? Whoever wants to go first, doesn't matter.
I'd say it was a trip. even now, and to know it, and it's gas, because once you learn it, you know it. But don't
once ask you learn to it, you describe see it, don't you?
To you. Yeah,
you can't pass. You can't not see it once you know it.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, I drive people around me mad all the time. They are just, they're sick of you as well, in fairness, Shauna, but they're sick of me. And they're sick of your words coming through me all the time. Like, but yeah, the function of the mind, we spent a long time, and even now, and God, you can see it. Like, when a client comes in, you have to like stop yourself and go, would you stop that function of the mind business and just move away from there when coming here? But you can't, because you have to be nice and gentle and all that.
The art of knowing is knowing what they ignore. Yeah, I love that. I thought that spoke about it perfectly. Anybody want to add to that?
I would say the functions. Oh, sorry, Hugh.
It's okay.
No, all right, Michelle.
No order. Do you want to go, Michelle?
Yeah, I'll go then. Functions of the mind. It's doing the job that it should be doing. Really, that was the first thing that I took from it. That was my first takeaway from it. It's finding, it's searching for the solutions as to why we have this emotional difficulty and problem. So therefore, it's working. It's doing what it's supposed to do, but there's not the healing that goes behind that, because it's building up the evidence of this is why you feel this way. This is why this is happening. This is what you're feeling. That person did this, this situation, this event did this. So it's cataloguing all the events that such for that person. And that can be absolutely overwhelming. Because when the mind gets to that state, it's just it floods the system. It floods our system, or the human condition. It floods the system, and therefore we then begin to move into the defense mechanisms, the way of being, the nervous system activation. So everything's gone off inside of us. And it's really trying to separate all of that out. But when you know how the functions of the mind work, the real release, I suppose, in a way, for that person that you're working with, and showing them and giving them that psych education, but that separation of that, it can just quieten even the little parts down, and that can be enough for them to get that space to really try and work out what is it that's going on inside the body right now, what is it I'm emotionally struggling with, feeling at this time. Brilliant. So that's what I took from it.
Absolutely. But what we're talking about here is we're talking about understanding how the mind works, so that when a client comes in front of you, exactly what Michelle's saying, we understand that the mind has made up its mind what the problem is. And it's just trying to convince the therapist that it knows what the problem is. And it's a minefield of information. And what happens is, if we work at that level, we can't work at root cause level, because that's the barrier to root cause. And when you're able to work and understand that and see it, as Teresa's saying, and work with it, as Michelle, it's a game changer. Because, and once the client sees it, once the client sees this is just a function, this isn't actually the problem, you know, that face, that place, that this regurgitating stories about 9 million things is not where this is. It's actually beyond that. It's just like someone turns on the light. You call it a separation, Michelle, but it's like someone turns on the lights and you stop chasing ghosts. Is that a fair analogy for everybody else? Go ahead. You were going to speak there.
Mine's very short.
Yeah.
As a therapist, once you know this, and anyone who takes the training will understand this as they go, you know what you're looking for. And that is a massive relief, because I can honestly say that before, I had no idea what I was looking for. So it's almost like, probably not a very good metaphor, but imagine there's a pond with like hundreds of types of fish, and you've got to catch like one type of fish. And before, you didn't know what that fish was, what color it was, what it looked like. Now you know it'll jump out in different forms, but you know when you hear it.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure how it is so, but I know that I know.
Brilliant. Yes, you know that you know, because you know that you know it on you. Because that's the other part. You've seen it in yourself. So you know it in yourself. Brilliant.
Yes.
Anybody want to add to the knowing the Rumi quote and the correlation to the course? Anybody find that themselves?
Yeah. I think that the client really feels it too. It's like, you know, we're not floundering around in session from week to week talking about the same stuff over and over again. It's like when they really feel that you're getting at it, and why they're paying you to come, and they're actually seeing some results, and you know, being able to, like Hugh was saying, like decipher which fish you need to catch, so that all the others are just spawning, whatever it is that they're doing out there, right?
Yeah.
So it's it really, really is helpful. It's so helpful to know what you need to know.
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely. Everybody else concur with that? James, mm-hmm. you want to say something? Mm-hmm. Are you all right?
Yeah, it just to add it, it changed for me. It's changed my whole perspective on people and the human condition completely, you know, like, so even outside of therapy, it's been pretty mind blowing to kind of mm-hmm. be like, wow, you know, all this thinking, all this thought that goes on for me, it's actually a kind of side effect of what's going on in my body actually. And well, I mean, that ties in with my own ongoing healing too. So
Yeah. That's perfect, because that links us straight to the last piece, which is once we know what we have defined and we can use the mind, and there's a very particular part of the modality that allows the mind and body to come together, because it's what's unique about this, that it's not just a body-led modality. It's actually interplay between the mind and the body, which makes it really, really powerful, because we're using all of the human condition, not just a part of the human condition. So the interplay between the mind and the body is what creates the healing. And then we go back to the healing at source emotionally. And that's kind of where we are in the training now, healing at source emotionally. So an emotional solution requires an emotional, or emotional pain requires emotional solution. And so that's the end game. So if you look at the way we've talked about this, and it's a very short conversation, but we could spend hours here as a collective, hours and hours and hours and client examples, mm-hmm. It's not helpful. But if you look at it, what we did was we kind of talked about, you know, prepping and then finding, what are we finding? And then we're talking about healing. And in the healing, we're talking about having an emotional solution to an emotional problem. So does anybody want to pick up on that? Just I know that we're at the end of that, and we're not quite finished the training on that yet. But even as a concept for you, how has that been? And if you have any personal experience of the emotional solution to the emotional problem, let me know.
Yeah, for me, the clarity I have on this largely comes from my own experience with this. And long story short, I just haven't seen a better way of helping people therapeutically, nor have I experienced something that's helped me so much in mind healing. So at the end of the day, that's it in a nutshell for me. I'm finding that, for example, last night doing some really important healing work on myself, healing an emotional problem with an emotional solution, shifted how I felt about a particular issue very suddenly in a positive way. And I just haven't come, I don't know what else is out there, but I haven't come across anything that can do that anywhere else personally.
Okay, brilliant. And you're a dual modality. You're not just, everyone here has multiple, triple modalities. I mean, everyone here is coming from their own modalities. So coming from cognitive hypnotherapy, they're coming from art therapy, they're coming from, I think you are EMDR, along with integrative therapy, a lot of integrative therapists. So we've come from a body of pre-existing modalities, and clearing has just kind of fitted in on top of those pre-existing modalities. So it's really important to say that to everybody that's listening here, that there's a foundational modality. So when James says he hasn't seen anything, he's saying from his perspective of having been taught in other multiple modalities. I think that's really important to frame that as well for you, James, that you're not coming at this just solely having trained and clearing them. You're coming at this from a wider perspective.
Yeah, I would agree. And I would say, as you know, there's value in all these other modalities. What I think I'm seeing is the clearing method is to, I forget who said it, maybe Lydia, I'm not sure who, that it's precise. It's just really precise. So it's like, other modalities would sometimes hit on it like that for me, but it would be less accurate and it would happen less often and less precisely. Whereas clearing method, it's like, you know exactly where you're going. It's like that one fish. And then, you know, it's a much higher success rate in my experience, especially drawing on my own personal experience as a client of clearing method and using it. Still using it to this day in my own healing.
And I find, for coming from that, I find it really hard to listen the other modalities and person-centered trained, you know, as well as this. So, but I find it hard because I'm always saying, yeah, but yes, but yes, but yes, but yes, but where's the primary pain? I'm always coming back to this understanding of primary pain inside my own frame of reference, which I know is skewed, but I see that replicated in the client's need. But where's the, but what about this primary pain? What about this hierarchy of pain in me? I see that replicated, that desire to get to the hierarchy of pain within them and get it cleared. So anybody else want, we'll take one more on that and then we'll just do a round robin and see if there's any questions. If anybody else want to add to that?
I'm aware that Anne's only spoken once and maybe
Anne wants to. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, what I'll say is that before I came to Shauna as a client, I'd been in therapy for over 20 years and I'd been sort of quite frustrated, I think. And I'd wished that there could be some kind of special magic box that you could go into that would tell you, I don't want to swear, we're recording, but exactly what is going on here, just what the F-U-C-K is going on, because I'm sick of chasing around in stuff. I'm sick of hearing different things. And what clearing does is it gives you that box to find exactly what's going on, exactly what's going on.
And not anybody else's interpretation. This is important. Not anybody else's theory of it. Not anybody else's understanding from Freud. Actually, as it appears within your own frame of reference, exactly as you feel it, exactly as you see it, exactly as you know it. And so there's this moment where it's there. It is. And it's not an interpretation. It's led the client. You would have led me to that.
Yes.
I would just aimlessly followed your cues and your understanding in this framework and we arrived at that place. Is that fair?
Yes. Perhaps I should have said a magic box that helps me to see it. Yeah. Rather than one that gives the answers.
When was the last time any visa therapist gave anybody answers? I mean, after this training, we know the answers aren't in the therapist's understanding. They're inside the client. Our job is nearly just to extract. I'm going to have to find a better word for extract. I was using extract today as I was training for APP and it sounded like some sort of surgeon that's taking out people's eyeballs. So if we can come up with a better word for extract, that would be good. And what were you going to add to that? That would be important.
I kind of nearly forgot. Because I got interested in what he was saying, and started going on that in my mind.
Oh,
I was
thinking
of the other theories that you would have got used. I think maybe it's been touched on anyway, but it would where you got to a point, and then what? Where now I continue with the but if and you know what if and the why, and you're getting more into which is and the importance then of the emotional problem, the emotional pain and the difference that makes. And I think that's where I got then so taken up with what you were saying, that both for myself and for other clients, for clients that I work with and with my own personal stuff as well, you can see that where now I'm able to even myself say, that's it. That's the piece that was missing. That's the connection. That was always a word I was looking for, that I'm not getting it. There's something not right here. There's just something. And that's what it is. It's that piece of bringing the whole part together. And I suppose then you're looking at that's bringing the whole person together, isn't it? And bringing it all together, really.
Yeah, you're healing that emotional that has been missing for such a lifetime. Thank you, Anne. That's perfect. Okay, so we'll just do a round robin here now. What do you feel is the best thing that has given you? What professionally, personally, what have you taken from it? We're not finished yet, so nobody's going anywhere yet. Just so you know, we've more triads to do. But what have you taken the most from it, do you think? apart from what I will say is an amazing cohort who are incredibly respectful of each other. And you just saw that bore out there with Hugh and Anne, who are, incredibly, it's a privilege to work with. You've been an incredible cohort. So there's a loveliness in the group that's gorgeous, I have to say. So apart from the loveliness of the group, what have you taken?
You know, someone asked me just today who my most important client is. Mm-hmm. And actually, I had to think about it, but then I realized it's myself.
Yes.
I'm my most important client. And I used to hate, having emotional issues arise, problems arise, because, none of my stuff really kind of did it. But today I had something up and I was able to just, glide through to what I needed. And it's been a tremendous gift personally, as well as professionally.
Imagine that. Isn't that just gorgeous? Thank you. Anybody want to add to that? Yes, Lydia?
Yeah, I would say, for me, the experience has just given a whole lot of clarity and confidence. It doesn't matter what the client brings to the table or my own stuff, like what he was talking about. It really, I just sit there in a knowing. It's like, oh, I know what I can do here. It's brilliant.
Yeah, you don't have to be, and this is what I love about the clearing, that you don't have to be problem specific. And what I mean is that you don't have to go away and study for 20 years on OCD. You don't have to go away and study depression. You don't have to go away and study and become a specialist in a particular area. When your primary pain focus is exactly what Lydia is saying, there's a knowing that you'll find it and source it and understand it, even through the web of the mind. And there's a knowing that you know how to heal it without being a 25-year specialist in a particular area. So I love that, Lydia. That's brilliant. Thank you. Anybody else want to add to that?
I'll add, for me personally and professionally, it's an inner wisdom. But the part that came first was the personal inner wisdom that I learned about me and was able to navigate probably areas and aspects of me that I couldn't get to before and are still going and getting there even just now, because this is a lifelong healing journey. But then what that is allowed me to transfer those skills into my practice professionally while working with others.
Brilliant.
So for me, that's what it's given me. Mm-hmm. And I'll be forever thankful for it.
Yeah. Oh, Michelle, brilliant. Do you see how excited we get when somebody's in pain? As a cohort, we're all clapping, going, yay, she's got pain, woohoo. This is what happens. You see, we get excited by our own awakenings, our own stirrings, and we know how to work with them because of the material. I mean, and that, there's no greater gift than that. So thank you, that's lovely. Okay, brilliant. Anybody else want to add to that? Teresa, yeah?
I think for me, what I really got out of the clearer method is, and as I was saying there, and I left college and I'd started, my first 100 hours and I'm nearly getting accredited now, but I was sitting with clients and people could tell me from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, oh, you sit there. And I was like, no, I have felt like I left college totally unskilled. And it was like, I want more to give to a client. And this has just been a massive piece that finished off that jigsaw. And it's this that I would call myself now. This is what I'm about, and I'd bring in other approaches as needed, but this would be first and foremost what I would say would be my angle, even though I haven't properly got my angle yet, but that's what I would say anyway. It's been a massive piece of the jigsaw for me, and
this will be your primary way of work, and then you'll bring in modalities that you trained at uni.
Absolutely. Because I'd be like you, and I'd be hearing people saying something, and I'd be like, oh, for God's sake. And I'm getting very impatient with, sometimes, not impatient, but I'd be there for God's sake. That's probably one of the worst parts of being one of the first cohort as well. It's because it's such a small you know, and then, you know, you're trying to explain to people, and I'm not great at explaining, so they'd just be, but you know, the frustration, yeah, you know, the way. But yeah, for me, massive part of the jigsaw, and now I feel like I am getting skilled, and I have because something to give.
That's important, doesn't it? There's 10 now clearance specialists. At the end of this year, we have 10 clearance specialists, and that's the first 10. So we're forever going to be the first. You know, we are forever going to be the early adopters. Isn't that what these are called? You know, that have adopted a modality before you even knew, you know. Yes, some of you that work with me and some of you trust it, which was incredibly brave, I know. And I know it's in some of your personalities to be an early adapter, which is fine as well. And that was part of the allure. But yes, there's 10, including me, 11 clearing specialists in the world out trying to find root cause. And we now will have a new cohort in January coming behind us, and we are literally trying to build a network across the world. As you can hear, there's many different accents, you know, from all parts of the world. Like James's was in Estonia, is now London based, Lydia's Canada, Switzerland for lovely Hugh, Dublin for Anne, Midlands, isn't that right, Teresa? And Scotland for Michelle.
No, Dublin.
Dublin for you as well. Oh, two Dublins. They never realised you were in Dublin. There you go. And then we've other people who couldn't join us tonight are all across the world, and people that are coming on board are all across the world as well. So that gives me great heart, because that is my job. My job is to create a network, and then create a network of trainers. Just saying. Create a network of trainers that can help that training of that. But that's the role. So sorry, for the rest of these, for whoever didn't add, would you feel like you could add to that? What has it given you?
I think the confidence to use now that when I started off, whenever did we start last January? Whenever they started, I would have been thinking, okay, yeah, I got my notes and I had so much pieces of paper, and I was thinking, no, I can't do it. Oh, I don't know. And now it's the main one. It's what I use. And so it's not other modalities and then this comes in. It's this. And then if anything else needs to be, which most of the time, yeah, I find this is just doing it. And the confidence that I've gained to do that, and I think that has also come out of doing the personal work as well. I think that has given a good backup to it as well, to see for yourself. You know, you have to experience, maybe. Am I right in saying that? The experience from oneself, yeah. Yeah, right. So I think
and you're not mind me saying that, but the confidence in you over the year has been incredible.
Yeah.
Cohort will say that as well.
Yes, yeah.
See you as well. Brilliant. Thank you. Who's next there, James? Have you gone yet?
No. Yeah. I just Hugh put it beautifully. What Hugh said, you know, you are your own most important client. I completely agree with. And so for me, it is doing clearing or experiencing clearing for myself. It does actually, like, the word clearing really makes sense to me now. It's like over time you do clear out the kind of the junk, and you are left more and more clear and with a clear way forward, with fewer and fewer obstructions along the way to becoming, you know. So yeah, for me, that's definitely the main, I mean, as a therapist, it's massive, but most of all, I would put my own personal journey first.
Yeah. And can I just say, because I think this is really important, and James and I have been working very closely together. James's success in the last wee while has been absolutely wonderful to see. And a part of that is clear, and yes, it's okay, but part of that is your own self. And the stuff that you've cleared out and the stuff that you've healed in yourself and what you continue to go and do in this world has been incredible. Is that fair, Jim?
I appreciate that, Shauna. I mean, yeah, and I really heavily put it down to clearing method as a client of it and also training in it. And yeah, it's eerie how as you do clear out, it just sort of transitions naturally into more and more growth, success, and stuff. It's pretty,
but not it's pretty mind blowing. Success's sake, not success or becoming for being better or than. There's no, it's just actually a very, you're just aligned with your own essence, doing your own thing in the world, loving life.
Yeah. Yeah, and it really, it just happens so naturally. It's still blowing my mind, as you know. Yeah. You know,
and so, I've privileged enough to be able to bring that up because I'm working with James on another project aside from clearing. Poor James, he's getting other coaching on top of clearing coaching. So poor James sees me twice a week, not even once. So thank you for allowing me to say that, but I think that's worth saying. Did I get everybody? Didn't miss anybody, did I? I didn't miss anybody. Everybody's given. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Is anybody any questions from the top for any of the guys? Armada, do you do, darling? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I first want to say thank you. It's been lovely listening to you all and really, really helpful and adds to the excitement. I want to go back to Shauna's medical metaphor. The question that came up for me is, let's say there was a crash, right? We all have crashes, come into the hospital and you have a concussion and a broken leg. You're talking about one root cause all the time, but I'm like, shit happens and there's more than just one root cause. So how does that fit into this?
I'll go first and then they can pick up on it. Well, it depends because there has a lot that can happen in one lifetime.
Yeah.
And you can have more than one, core pain. You can have two or three. But what you will find within the method is that a lot of that, say if you had two, just as an example, root cause pains, then there will be a rebound and that there'll be a lot of products that come from that, a lot of secondary pain that comes from that. Yeah. So it ends up where, to use the medical analogy, then you might have a broken knee that ends up with a dislocated ankle because the knee's broken. But the knee was the first thing to go and then the ankle is a product of that problem. And then we will know which part of that we have to fix first. So we become primary pain focused, but that doesn't mean to say there's one primary pain. There might be multiple two or three primary pains, but there will be a lot of secondary pain. We get to witness what of this is not pertaining to the hierarchy of pain, because there's always a hierarchy of pain. So it's like if somebody came in to the hospital and they have multiple issues, they would fix the most life-threatening one first. And that's right. What we're trying to do. We're not ignoring the other one.
Right. And can I just go back to something James said about the domino effect then? So if there's a broken knee and that's affected the ankle, when you fix the broken knee, the ankle's automatically fixed.
Well, you can talk about your own personal, you can talk about what you find in that, the domino effect, James.
Yeah. Sure. I'll see if a really specific example comes up for me, but running with this medical one, well, maybe it means the ankle gets better immediately, or maybe it means that the ankle is capable now of getting better in a way that it wasn't before. And maybe then you do still treat the ankle. But because you treat the knee already and the knee's better, the ankle can get better in a way it couldn't before. So,
welcome, James. I wouldn't have managed to get that well. Well done, Yuri.
Yeah, but, totally but, get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. Is that helpful, Arnold?
Yeah, because I just saw the spine too in subluxation, right? I go to the chiropractor and there's certain things in my body that are all wrecked, but when I'm adjusted correctly, then all those other problems, they might still need some attention, but they can heal. Where before the subluxation was blocking the healing from that part of my body because a nerve was, you know, crushed or whatever. So yeah, I just switched metaphors a tad bit, but thank you. Yeah. Got it. Really good.
And what happens for it when we work in primary pain and not in secondary pain is that if you work in secondary pain, as an example, because you don't understand what you're working on, right? If you work, we have to remember the client will present the secondary pain as a problem. It's not that the client's not presenting the ankle, because the ankle is the problem, you know, the client. So understanding that's quote, the art of knowing is knowing what to ignore. So if we know they ignore the ankle and they work on the knee, then what we understand is that if we fix the ankle first, right, then what would happen is maybe the cartilage behind the knee, maybe the bone in the leg will get injured because it's coming from the knee. And so we know that if we start fixing pieces of secondary pain, it'll shape shift, because pain will do that. Pain will create another problem somewhere else. So we become hyper-focused. And this is why hierarchy of pain is so important and primary pain is so important, because we become hyper-focused about what is the product of pain and what is the pain itself. Now, I don't want anybody freaking out that is joining us thinking, my God, what is she talking about? We do this in bite. I promise you, you will get here and you'll not even know you're there in the training. We do it in bite. Isn't that true, guys? See, bite size chunks. You'll actually be frustrated in the training, because I talk about titration. I like slow march. And these guys were, I know, rolling their eyes behind me going, when are we going to get to the good stuff? To the extent where James or Hugh messaged in the group, we got the good stuff. I'm in tears. We excitement. is that fair?
It's fair, but I don't think I was ever
frustrated with me.
Frustrated with you, no, because I'm a slow learner and I need to hear the same thing again and again and again from different angles, different perspectives before it finally clicks in. So
He's been gracious. I'm sure they were.
No.
Okay, I think if everybody else is all right, we'll wrap up here, because I've taken enough of your time. It was only supposed to be 20 minutes and it is now bloody 40 or whatever it is. Thanks a million for your and thanks a million for your input today, and I look forward to seeing what we're all going to do this year.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, Frida. And for everybody that will get to watch this, these are your specialists next year. These are the guys that you're going to be contacting. These are the guys you're going to be working with. These are the guys you're going to be sitting and waiting to get in. They see them. And you couldn't be in better hands. Absolutely couldn't be in better hands. I would give my own children them. And that's the truth. And that is testimony to the people that are sitting in front of you. So thanks. And before I start crying and blubbering, I'm going to go and make myself a good strong cup of coffee and get it together today. So I will see you all soon. See you tomorrow, actually. All right, see you guys tomorrow, and see you guys soon. See the guys have joined us soon. Bye for now.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, guys. Enjoy it.
Thank you so much. Bye.